If you think about your local mall, there's a handful of stores that are usually fixtures. One of those in recent years has been Forever 21, a fast fashion store originally marketed to young women that filed for bankruptcy last month. The company released a list of 178 locations in the U.S. they say may close, depending on things like whether they can renegotiate rent agreements with landlords. That list includes two stores in Wisconsin at Mayfair Mall in Wauwatosa and Westtown Mall in Madison. The bankruptcy may have surprised some fans of the store, but to industry watchers, it was another sign of big, almost constant change in the retail industry. Hart Posen is an associate professor of management and human resources at UW-Madison School of Business. Hart, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you.
Well, a fast rise for Forever 21. Was this bankruptcy a surprise?
Well, the rise wasn't that. They started in the early 80s, right? They're at the forefront of fast fashion and really the first major player in the U.S. market. Doing that. Does it come as a surprise? I don't think it comes as a surprise. I think over the last couple of years, we've seen attention to Forever 21 sort of diminishing and them being slightly displaced at the frontier.
Fast fashion, it was a new term to me not that long ago. I guess I wasn't on top of the trend. What do we mean by that?
What we mean is clothing retailers that are trying initially to mimic what was on the runway in Milan and New York and try to get it into the stores really quickly with selections that changed all the time, but also at super low prices.
And that was a concern for some people, and it seems like more people are concerned lately about sustainability, labor issues, things like that. I don't know if that's something that's going to drive a business into bankruptcy, but it is something people are talking about.
I think people are indeed talking about that, although I think that wouldn't be a key driver here in what's happening to Forever 21.
Yeah, what are the key drivers? What led to this bankruptcy?
You know, they expanded really rapidly. And until fairly recently, they had a ton of expansion plans still. And they're now in over 40 countries and hundreds of stores in the U.S. And what happens is they got bigger. Not only did they get bigger in the number of stores, they made their stores bigger and bigger and bigger. They almost wanted to be the department store of fast fashion. And as they did that, it gets harder and harder to be fast. It gets harder and harder to be on trend. And as you have these huge stores with tons of items, inevitably, most of them are not that fast.
Now, we asked our listeners where they shop for clothes and if they had thoughts on Forever 21. Ashley writes, I used to love Forever 21. If they still sold the same styles they had when I was 21, I'd still be shopping there. Ditto H&M and others, Ashley writes. Sorry, once all the pants went ultra skinny, all the shirts are made out of some sort of napkin material but cost as much as real clothes, I'm not into it. So, something is changing maybe in consumer tastes, or did something change in what they were offering consumers?
You know, I it's unclear how much has changed in consumer taste with regard to the quality, for instance. You know, there has been the rise of a bunch of online retailers, online-only fast fashion retailers, Boohoo, ASOS, a few others, that are squarely in this space. I think more than sort of a desire amongst 17-year-olds for long-lasting clothes, because I just don't buy that. They don't want to wear them that long. is this idea that the notion of what makes something trendy has changed? It used to be the runway in New York or Milan. Now it's YouTube influencers.
Like Instagram models.
Instagram influencers, etc. And the new players, the new online-only players, have grown up in the era of social media as defining trends, where Forever 21 and to some extent H&M and Zara grew up in the era of the catwalk defining trends.
Talking to Hart Posen from UW-Madison School of Business, we're looking at retail clothing, and the bankruptcy of Forever 21. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Simple question for you. Where do you buy your clothing? Or do you make your own? 800-642-1234. We were talking before we got started, Hart. We often call you when bad news happens for a business. But because bad news is happening for one business doesn't mean it's happening for everybody in retail. Are there stores, not online, but actual stores that are selling clothes that are going like gangbusters these days?
Well, I think, we continue to see TJ Maxx and their variety of brands that's That's Marshalls. That is now the Sierra Trading Post, which is now Sierra. They have a store that just opened up in Madison. We continue to see them doing very well. And, you know, you wanted me to exclude the online players, but there, you know, there is lots of innovation and creativity in fashion. And there will continue to be lots of winners, including winners in the mall.
Yeah, let's talk about the mall. Here's a comment from Darlene on Facebook who says, mall chain stores sell clothing that's basically overly priced wrapping paper. I want to focus on the mall part of that. And we hear about the decline of the mall and some malls not doing well, but you say that's not across the board?
Look, I think, you know, there's some recent data from an association of U.S. shopping mall owners. There are lots of young, even young people, you know, Forever 21's demographic, who still want to go to the mall. They still want to try it on. They still want it to be highly social with their friends, sharing in the change rooms together, looking at each other, talking to each other, while still sharing pictures on Instagram. Right. And so I don't think that the social element will go away. I think what's happening, and you see it in lots of malls now, is mall owners and the stores in them are finding ways to make use of that, to leverage the socialness of it. Now it's happening slowly. And for many of the big clothing retail chains, which were massive, right, with stores in every mall in the country, it's been hard. But things are moving.
Is there a thing where just store chains get too big and they're not nimble enough to keep up with that kind of change in the market? Or do you have an example of somebody who really navigated an abrupt change in consumer attitudes and tastes?
Well, you know, I think it is broadly true that the bigger you get, the harder it is to change. Not simply because, you know, if you think of a store like Forever 21, hundreds and hundreds, thousands of items in that store. Imagine your fast fashion. Some of these online fashion retailers are adding like 300 styles a day to their lineup.
Wow.
And they only stay there for a few days or a few weeks. The bigger you get, the more stuff you have, the more of that you have to do. And that gets really hard, really complicated, really fast.
Talking to Hart Posen from UW-Madison School of Business. He's with us to talk about changes in the retail industry after the fast fashion retailer Forever 21 filed for bankruptcy last month. We'll go to your calls now. Deborah is with us in Brown Deer. Deborah, hi.
Hello. I have to give two thumbs up to Goodwill. I get clothing from exclusive designers and stores that I could never afford to purchase. I'm looking at right now, it's 100% silk shirt from Sutton Studio, and it's my newest clothing item, and it was like $2.50 at Goodwill.
$2.50.
$2.50.
Deborah, thank you so much for sharing that. And we heard from Amber on the Ideas Network Facebook page who says, thrift stores are my first stop. Thrift stores have always been with us, Hart. Is there a trend going on here, though, lately?
Well, I think we can, you know, thrift stores have been around forever.
Mm-hmm.
I think there is a trend amongst kids. My daughter talks about going to the thrift store to buy clothes. She's 15. I do think there's also more stuff going on at the high end. There are online retailers that sell high-end fashion, deeply discounted, high-end fashion. So I think that's here to stay. It may even grow, but like everything, you know, that nothing is forever.
Not even 21.
Not even 21.
Though they may stay around, I should say.
Yeah, they are. They're restructuring. They're not gone. They're not gone yet. Mm-hmm. But
thanks for that call, Deborah. Let's go now to Colin with us in Milwaukee. Colin, hi.
Hi. I was just calling to say I'm a 27-year-old millennial, I guess you could say, and both myself and most of my friends really enjoy Kohl's. Like, it's the first place we'll go. And I think one of the big reasons is their online website is great, but then it's also really easy to go in their store and quickly try on a whole different pile of clothes. And if they don't have the exact size you're looking for, you can then just get it shipped right to your house for free usually. And I don't know why, but for whatever reason, they just seem to be really popular with people my age.
Colin, thanks for the call. So Kohl's and the younger millennials.
Yeah, Kohl's, Target, and others, you know, they've been really focusing strongly on this. I think it goes against the popular logic that brick and mortar retailers are going away. I don't think they are. It is the very good ones are searching for a way that captures the best of online and the best of in-store. And it's taken us quite a while to get there, but I think Kohl's in particular is a very good example of a firm that's doing remarkably well in that space. I think Target to some extent is doing well in that space, and others are trying.
Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Dan joins us now in Platteville. Dan, hello.
Yes, I usually do most of my shopping either at like Walmart or sometimes actually Cabela's or Bass Pro Shop, which is a they're actually outdoor stores, but they actually have clothes that look nice but fit me. A big issue I have when I go to most of the stores like in the mall. Most of their clothes, they're like, say if I buy a pair of pants, they go up to like maybe size 36, if that. Shirts that maybe I'll be lucky if I find one for extra large. And when I say, hey, I have nothing here that fits me, they just simply just some place they apologize and just say, oh, sorry, we don't have anything that fits larger people.
Dan, thanks for that. Thanks for that call, and I've heard similar things about stores like Forever 21, too, that they cater more toward smaller sizes. Is this something, is this intentional in stores? They want to be seen as a store for a certain size, Hart?
Well, you know, I think there's been some pushback against being, well, we have to distinguish between the stores for teens and
the stores for our caller there. Yeah.
Middle-aged people like me and you. Mm-hmm. Not that you're middle-aged.
Well, no, that's fair.
Wow. But, you know, even at the... Yeah, even at the teen,
I'll
even
just weep at, here.
That's okay. I'll catch your tears. Even at the teen end, there has been push away from that extra skinny kind of thing. You know, actually, Forever 21 got in trouble this past year for including Diet Atkins lemon bars in their packages delivered from online orders, and there was a big media blow up about that because it suggested something about what is an appropriate weight. So I think there is greater sensitivity of that at the lower end, but there's also movement in this caller's, you know, talking about Cabela's and what have you. Mm-hmm. Remember, I said that TJ Maxx is spreading a new chain that used to be only online called Sierra Trading Post, which is sporting goods online discount retailer in the TJ Maxx sort of way. And they're now opening up stores across the country, including a new one in Madison just a few weeks ago. So I think that's relaxing somewhat, although the mall, you know, may change much more slowly.
And we're talking about clothes for younger women versus older men in this case.
Middle-aged men.
Middle-aged men, sure. Is this a demographic people are really excited about in the industry? It seems like they're really trying to sell clothes to young people or to old people who want to be young people.
I think we can, you know, mall retailers for a long time now have been focused on youth. I suspect there'll be some rebalancing there over time. And I think part of sort of seeing some of the youth-focused retailers go away and change the distribution of online and in-store will open up spaces for a broader array of demographics in those mall spaces.
All right, let's go to another caller. Jean is with us now in Milwaukee. Jean, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to share my thoughts on Forever 21 and the reason why myself and my female friends and sisters have stopped frequenting the stores. When it first opened, and it was really popular, the stores were smaller with fewer items. And I recall the quality of the items being slightly better the way than it is now. It was still affordable, but it's too much stuff at a higher price, and it was just not a really good payoff. And I'm not really surprised where it is now.
And Jean, can I ask, where do you and your crew go shopping now?
Unfortunately, I hate to say this, we all shop online now. Whenever we talk about clothes, whenever we talk about fashion, we're always showing each other our items on our mobile phones. And we're just shopping online now.
Jean, thanks for the call. Jean and her friends are the only people in the country with that story to tell, Hart. True or false?
Obviously false. You know, look, I think as I, you know, I said at the outset, that they added lots of stores, and the stores got huge, right? These became super big stores. And I think it was increasingly hard for them to keep track of trends and keep up with trends. On the quality front, whether it's decreased marginally or not, I don't think I can speak to. I do think, you know, this caller talking about, you know, the social part is no longer standing and looking at the item together, but looking at our phones together. I do think that some retailers are trying to add back the social part so that we will want to go with our friends as non-16-year-olds and engage in those kinds of social interactions. They have to if it's going to work for them.
Gene, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Talking to Hart Posen from UW-Madison School of Business, looking at changes in retail clothing with Forever 21 filing for bankruptcy, probably closing a bunch of stores. Hart, before we go back to our callers, if fast fashion stores like Forever 21 are in trouble, does that mean fast fashion is in trouble?
No, I don't think so. I think exactly the opposite. Forever 21 is in trouble in part because ultimately, given their girth in some sense, they were no longer fast enough. And they weren't fast enough to keep up with the influencers online. And they didn't have the systems and structures in place to do that. So I don't think fast fashion's in trouble at all.
So somebody's going to come along that's just even faster or has come along.
Folks are. These online players are coming along. They're shipping out of one centralized warehouse, much easier to track inventory. They're killing it.
Let's go to another caller. Jose is with us in Appleton. Jose, hi.
Hello, how are you guys doing?
Good. What do you want to tell us about, Jose?
Yeah, I have an 11-year-old daughter, and her thing is everything she wants, she finds online. And one thing that I have done is just teach her the importance of supporting our brick-and-mortar and smaller retailers, not necessarily the bigger malls. And telling her maybe we won't find exactly what you want at some of these smaller retailers, but just the importance of being able to maintain some of these smaller independent-owned retail shops or clothing shops. May they be resale or new.
Jose, thanks for the call. So is there room out there for those maybe independent local brick-and-mortar stores that Jose's hoping to support?
You know, I think there continues to be some room for them. You know, I think what the bankruptcy at Forever 21, but also Payless, the challenges of many other retailers of this sort indicates that the gigantic impersonal is as challenged as the small, tiny, and local. You know, it is sort of the quest to find elements for the large players that can make them more local, more personal, more interactive, more social. At the same time, the small mom and pops, really, if they're going to survive, they have to move in that direction as well.
Yeah, I read a while back that, okay, you had in the bookstore industry now, Barnes & Noble and Borders driving all your local bookstores out of business. But then Amazon came along. Borders is gone. Barnes & Noble not doing as hot. And that's created new space for the old independent bookstores.
That's right.
I mean, can we see something like that in something like fashion and in clothing?
I think it's possible. I don't think we are seeing that yet. Mm-hmm. This is, for me, the You've Got Mail story. Right,
right.
From that movie. And all of a sudden, the big bad bookstores were no longer the big bad bookstores. We haven't seen that yet.
What are you watching for now in retail clothing? Lots of changes. We've talked in the past about Shopko clothing was part of their deal. You know, the department stores like Sears and JCPenney's not doing so swimmingly lately. What are you watching for next?
You know, the first thing I always look at, and this is usually every time I get a call from you about a bankruptcy, is there something distinctive about this firm? And, you know, many of the retailers that we've talked about going out of business or in bankruptcy and restructuring are firms that you got to the point where you looked at that firm and you said, I see nothing distinctive about it. I see no particular reason to go, nothing unique they offer that I can't get anywhere else. And at the same time, you know, the earlier caller talking about Kohl's or Target doing well in some of these spaces, in some sense, Kohl's and Target were as distinctive as some of these fashion-only firms going out of business. So I look for that right away, and you can't see it. And this, you know, at Forever 21, this what is distinctive about Forever 21? And the only thing that distinguishes them at this point is their beautiful history in the 80s and 90s and their inability to be as fast as their new rivals.
Is this bad? Is it sad when we lose companies or they file for bankruptcy?
You know, not for me. Don't get me wrong. I understand people lose their jobs. But we need this churn in the economy. One of the tremendous things about the American economy has always been its ability to reallocate resources from poor performing firms to better, to new and better performing firms. This has allowed for a lot, tremendous economic growth, tremendous novelty, tremendous innovation. And in some sense, our bankruptcy system is the envy of the world because it so is so effective at doing that. So, I think we always have to see the upside in this, the room for new players.
Hart, thanks a lot for joining us again.
Thank you for having me.
That's Hart Posen, professor from UW-Madison School of Business. He's with us today to talk about Forever 21, the fast fashion chain filing for bankruptcy, and what that tells us about changes in the retail clothing industry.